Okay, Brishus, my father. Brishus, the entire Kehila. I always like to start with a comment that Rav Chaim Meyer of Vizhnitz, the Vizhnitz Rebbe, said when he first settled in Eretz Yisrael with his Hasidim. It's a great line and it never gets old. The Vizhnitz Rebbe said when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he said, you know, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, they really get it. They really get it. So the Hasidim said, what do you love so much about the Yidden of Eretz Yisrael? Now, obviously, Yisrael of Vizhnitz was known for being a tremendous Oev Yisrael Bechlal. But he said, in Eretz Yisrael, they really get it. So they asked him, they said, what is it about the Jews of Eretz Yisrael that you feel such a strong connection to? He said, because in Eretz Yisrael, he stops someone on the street and he asks them how they're doing. They always respond, Hakol Beseder. Hakol Beseder. And he said, if only people realized how much Hakol Beseder, that everything that happens in the entire calendar year is dependent on what happens on the Leil HaSeder. If only people would understand the secret of Hakol Beseder. The Seder is an unbelievable thing. It's a complete nes, somewhat wrapped within Teva, and somewhat not wrapped within Teva. When a person comes and sits by the Seder, there's wondrous things taking place in the world. You look at the passage that many people recite, many Haggadahs print before Magid, a passage from the Zohar Kaddosh, and many Svarim elaborate upon it. This passage that describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu coming down from the heavens on the Seder night, the whole Palmalia delay and the entire heavenly hosts, and everyone comes to join you by your Seder. Kadosh Baruch Hu abandons the outer spheres and comes very much to be a part of our Seder. I heard once an explanation that we know that in the various realms of Torah, there's a pardes, there's an orchard, there's pshat, there's remez, there's drush, and there's sod. If you look at the word seder, there's no pay. There's no pshat. What does it mean there's no pshat? It means that when a person sits by the seder, right, the entire thing is miraculous. But you'll say, like the Maharal says, that there's a seder even within the miraculous. That's true. There's a seder within Nisim. Kadosh Baruch Hu programmed into the Bria from the beginning of time that even when a Kadosh Baruch Hu operates seemingly out of the Teva, there's still a Seder to it, and therefore we call the night a Seder. But it's not a normal Seder. It's a Seder that's outside of the realm of Pshat. And therefore of the Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, of the four dimensions of Torah that we normally operate within, even though the Seder claims to be a Seder, but something very, very unique is happening in each and every one of our homes. What happens on the Seder night? On the Seder night, the whole world is lifted up. I just told you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down. No, we meet somewhere in the middle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down to join us for the purpose of lifting us up. The Alexander Chassidim, first of all, the Alexander Chassidim, just to know who they were, this was the second biggest Chassidus prior to World War II, only second to Ger. The Alexander Rebbe used to have a kittel, not like a regular kittel that we have. He had a special made kittel with these two huge pockets in the front. In one pocket, he would put a bottle of wine for the Arba Kosos. And the other pocket, he had this huge pocket that was big enough to hold the matzah. And he would sit there, he'd have a bottle of wine, he'd have the matzahs. And when he would walk in, there were people not that long ago who still remembered what it was like to see a Seder by some of the tzaddikim of Alexander, the Yismach Yisrael. Passed away already in 1910. But there was the grandchildren already. One of them was killed with his family in the Holocaust. The Teferes Shmuel and the Akedas Yitzchak from Alexander. So they say that when they would come in, when the Alexander Rebbe would walk into the Seder, all of a sudden he'd come in very jolly, he'd have his kittel on, he'd have the bottle of wine, he'd have the matzahs in this huge pocket, and then all of a sudden he would get very serious. And he said to people gathered at the Seder, he says, if you don't believe, talking about elevating the whole world through the Seder, if you don't believe that on this night a person can go from the lowest level to the highest level, the same way that Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were on the 49th level of Tumah, and they were able to jump out of that place to become a Kadosh Baruch Hu's people, he used to say with a very serious expression on his face, if you don't believe that you can go from a very low place to a very high place in this night, then you are the Rasha of the Haggadah. Then you are the Rasha of the Haggadah. If a Jew doesn't understand what he's getting himself into when he comes to sit by the Seder, the Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe used to use a radish for karpas. And he would take a radish in his hand, and he would say, all year round, you're just a little radish. Now you're a worthless little radish. He says, on tonight, you get to be part of the Seder. Tonight, you get to play a prominent role in the Seder. Look how the whole world gets lifted up on the Leil HaSeder. And I think that explains to us, perhaps, why Pesach is referred to in the Torah as Shabbos. When do we start counting Sfiras HaOmer? Mimachar HaShabbos. It's It's very confusing. Tzedokim got it wrong. They didn't understand what that meant. They thought that means you have to wait to start counting Sfira on Sunday. But we know that Shabbos in that context means the first day of Yom Tov. Mimachras HaShabbos, we start counting. So the question is, why is Pesach called Shabbos? In what way is Pesach like Shabbos? What does Pesach and Shabbos have in common? There's many things they have in common. But I think one thing that they have in common is that the same way that we're describing how Pesach is an opportunity for a person to be lifted from a low place to a very high place, to transform his entire environment, that's what Shabbos is. Rav Soloveitchik used to describe the milkman or the water carrier in his town, who he wouldn't even recognize on Shabbos. During the week, he was, you know, Yankel, and he was schlepping whatever he was schlepping. And on Shabbos, Yankel was a chassid, would put on his Shabbos dik levush, and he's mamash a different person, like the Talmud Yerushalmi says. Talmud Yerushalmi says a person's face is totally different on Shabbos. Our clothing is different, the way we speak is different, v'daber davar, the way we walk is different, the way we dress is different, the way we eat is different. It's totally transformative. So therefore, Pesach is called Shabbos, Yimachras HaShabbos. The same way Shabbos is a totally different world. The whole world undergoes a transformation. That's what the Yom Tov of Pesach is. Benefesh, that a person can undergo an entire, a complete transformation. In the Beis Aaron, Rav Aaron of Karlin in Parshas Bo, tells a story about the Baal Shem Tov. Take it or leave it. Different the schos of the story. But, you know, it's printed in authoritative work, the Beis Aaron. Rav Aaron of Karlin, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, says that one time the Baal Shem Tov was traveling. And Beis Aaron is a sefer on Chumash. It's not a Sipur HaMaisiyah sefer. But he brings this point there. He writes in Parshas Bo. He says, one time the Baal Shem Tov was traveling, and he got stuck for Shabbos. He got stuck in some field. So the Baal Shem Tov built himself a mechitza, built himself an Erev, right? And he was going to spend Shabbos in this field. And there were some animals grazing in the field. And he writes, he says, that when the Baal Shem Tov began to recite Kabbalah Shabbos, Kibol Shabbos al Asada, Vayu Sham Tzon Roim al Pnei Asada, Vehigbiu B'shas Maisa Esraglayim Harishonim Lamala. When the animals saw the Baal Shem Tov being mekabel the Shabbos again, take it or leave it, the animals got up off of all fours, they stood up on two legs, like a baser v'dam, like a person. V'omdu rak al shnei raglayim achronim ka'midas ish. Because again, if you're spending Shabbos in the environment of the Baal Shem Tov, the whole world gets lifted up. Right? That which is part of the animal kingdom becomes a little bit more elevated. And that's what happens on Pesach. Everything gets transformed. Everyone has to come to the Seder feeling good about himself or herself. To know that if Chas HaShalom, you don't believe this, the Yismach Yisrael, the Alexander Rebbe says, you're the Rosh of the Seder. There's a beautiful book called The Rabbi of 84th Street. Beautiful biography. It's written by a secular journalist about Rav Chaskel Besser. And it says that one Friday night, Rav Chaskel Besser had a large crowd by his table. And all of a sudden, they noticed that there was a little moth flying around the room. So Rabbi Besser got up and he went over to the window and he opened the window and he said to his guests, it seems to me that this butterfly, this little butterfly, would prefer to be outside rather than inside. So one of the guests said, Rabbi, that's not a butterfly, that's a moth. So Chaskel Besser said back, he said, listen, it's Shabbos Kodesh. And on Shabbos, everything deserves to feel a little better about itself. He says, I know it's a moth. He says, but on Shabbos, we call a moth a butterfly. And on Shabbos, everything's transformed. And that's what the very name Pesach means. Pesach, Rashi tells us two explanations. The one that we're most familiar with, Rashi's second pshat, is this lashon of Rachmanis. Right? But Pashat pshat, Rashi's first pshat, is what? That it's lashon of diluk. It's lashon of something jumping, of something lifted. How do you jump? You lift yourself up. And that's exactly what happens on the Leila Seder. I want to try, we have about 32 minutes, maybe I'll steal an extra minute or so. But I want to try to share six insights, just to give us by the Seder we declare where we're heading, right? We go through the steps of where we're heading. So I'll just tell you where I'd like to head tonight. I'd like to give an overview of just why the Haggadah is called Haggadah. And then I'd like to share five insights, one on the Dalet Banim, one on Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayov Aseinu, V'hisha Amda, Dayenu, and if there's time, Behold Rav Dor Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo, Ki'ilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. Okay, so six sections I'd like to talk about. But first, Be'derach Hakdama. Right? Why is the Haggadah called the Haggadah? Obviously, the centerpiece of the night, the mitzvah of the night, Kol Amar B'Lesaper HaRezim Meshubach, is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is the centerpiece, the Magid, and that's where the Haggadah draws its name from. And the question is, why is it called the Haggadah? So you'll tell me, V'hi Gadah to Levincha. Right? That's the Pasuk. Leman Tesaper, there's a mitzvah of Sipur, and then there's V'hi Gadah to Levincha, there's a mitzvah of Haggadah. What's the difference between Sipur and Haggadah? What's the difference between the two? So I saw someone wanted to explain that Sipur perhaps means telling the story in an old-fashioned way. Sipur means, this is my favorite story, I've heard it a million times, and I want to hear it again, and I want to hear it exactly the way I heard it last time, because it's exciting, you know, you can basically say the words along. There's that classic Vart that so-and-so likes to share every year, and there's that story that so-and-so likes. That's Sipur. What's V'higadita? What's Haggadah? So I saw the following explanation based on a Malbim in Vayikra Parakeh. The first pasuk in Vayikra Parakeh reads as follows. V'nefesh ki sechta v'shama kol ala v'hu eid, o ra'a o yada, im lo yagid v'nasa avona. The Torah is describing a person who saw something, has the ability to testify, and is failing to do so. Im lo yagid, if the person conceals the testimony, shvuas ha'edus, right? A person can be taken to task for this, v'nasa avona, and the person will bear the iniquity. So the Malbim explains, what does it mean, v'lo yagid? What does it mean? What is he supposed to convey at that time? What's the Haggadah that we want from this individual who saw whatever it is that he saw? What's the testimony that we're trying to extract from him? So the Malbim says, the Haggadah that he's supposed to do is one of two things. It has two aspects to it. Number one, right, he has to reveal something which he could conceal. Meaning something that was previously not known is going to become known. And the second point, who does he need to reveal it to? He doesn't have to tell it to everyone. That's not the expectation of the Torah. The Torah wants him to tell it to the relevant party. In this case, Beis Din. So we see that the very word Haggadah means to what? To uncover information that could be concealed and to share with the relevant party. That's exactly what we're doing on the Leil HaSeder. It's not just Sipur. It's not just tell the Divrei Torah that you've been telling every single year. But there has to be a V'higadita. You have to uncover new information and you have to relay it in a way that's relevant to the children and to the family and to the people gathered at the table. I saw there was a great tzaddik who died al Kiddush Hashem, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Waldschein. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Waldschein was the assistant mashkiach ruchani in the Baranovich Yeshiva. Rav Yisrael Yaakov Lubchansky was the mashkiach under Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Lost his life during the war. So this Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Waldschein was a Talmud of the Altar of Novardik, and they brought him into the yeshiva to be the assistant mashkiach. He was actually the one responsible, or in part responsible, for the publishing of the Altar of Novardik's famous Musar classic, Madrega Sa'adam. So he asked the following question, and it will bring up this point about Haggadah, making sure that you relay the information in a new way and in a relevant way. Right? Not irrelevant, in a relevant way. He says the following. He says, why do we say, B'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatsim mitzrayim? What's the b'chol dor v'dor? That's what he wants to understand. What's the b'chol dor v'dor? In every generation you need to... Why doesn't it just say, chayiv adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatsim mitzrayim? We would know who that's talking to. It's talking to whoever's reading the Haggadah. If you're reading the Haggadah in Tafshin Ayin Vav, it's talking to you. If you're reading the Haggadah in Tafshin Samach, it's talking to you. If you're reading the Haggadah in Tafshin in 1940, during the war, so it's talking to you. What's the b'chol dor v'dor, chayiv adam liros es atzmo, ki'ilu hu yatsim mitzrayim? Obviously, we're not relaying the story to the people who experienced it 3,300 years ago, so what's the b'chol dor v'dor? What's that adding? So he said a very sharp insight. He said, b'chol dor v'dor is telling us that the way that you relive it has to change in each generation. That the way that the story was told a generation ago is not the way that it's told now. And the way you told it to your family last year is not the way you're going to tell it to your family this year. And he brings an interesting proof in halacha. What's the halacha by Meiser Behema? Meiser Behema, a person has to tithe his animals, the newborn animals. So what's the halacha? Right? When does Meiser Behema start? It's a machlokas tanaim, the first Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Either Elul starts the new year or Tishrei starts the new year. But what's the rule? The rule is I can't separate animals from one year on another year. I can't tithe animals from one year on another year. So you'll say to yourself, why? They're 1 year apart. But what the halacha is telling us is from 1 year to the next, it's a different door. It's a different generation. It's an entirely different world. And therefore the halacha tells us you can't mix a lamb that was born 1 year with a lamb born a year later. And I think we can all, in a very deep way, relate to that. Right? The world is changing so much. Think about what's transpired since the last year we sat by the Leil Seder. There's so many new things. There's so many new ideas we have to relay to our children, to our family. There's so many new ways that we have to express certain ideas. The mashalim that we used 10 years ago are not relevant today. Right? The world is a different world. There's always a chiddush taking place in the world, and a person has to try to the best of his ability to live with the times. The world is constantly, constantly changing. Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tezayin, Tosfos quotes, trying to explain to us why it is, right, that we blow the shofar while we're standing, we blow the shofar while we're sitting. Right, Tkios Dim'uma, Tkios Dim'yushav. So Tosfos very famously says, we're trying to fake out the Yetzer Hara. We're trying to outsmart the Satan. Right? We blow the shofar once, and he gets a little anxious. We blow it a second time, and he says, oh my gosh, that must be the shofar of Mashiach. And then he gets all confused, and then we're able to be Zocha B'din, and we get a good judgment on Rosh Hashanah. So I saw Rav Pinchas Karitzer, one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, asks, in his Sefer Imrei Pinchas, he says, "Nu, so we faked out the Yetzer, we faked out the Satan last year. So by next year, he knows the Jews are going to blow the shofar once, and they're going to blow it a second time, and the second time is not going to be Mashiach. So why does he fall for it again?" So Pinchas Karitzer said, because the Satan from last year is not the same Satan for this year. It's a new Satan. It's a different world. It's a different Yetzer Hara. It's new challenges. The Rupshitzer of Naftali Rupshitz was known to be very, very funny. He always had a clever way of saying things. But again, there was a deep truth to what he was saying. There's a sefer called Chassidim Misaprim. And it says in there, you know, you go to a Jewish bookstore, and you're surprised to see every single year so many new Haggadahs. So many new Haggadahs. Right? I was in Muncie the other day. Right? Like 50 new Haggadahs every year. It's the area, they say it's the area of Torah that has the most written upon it. The sheer number of volumes that have been written on the Haggadah is unbelievable. So the Rupshitzer said, why is it that every year they're printing new Haggadahs? Why can't I use the Haggadah from last year? It was a good Haggadah. I didn't finish everything that was written in my Haggadah from last year, all the commentaries. So the Rupshitzer said, because the Rasha of the Dalet Banan from last year, that guy, by this year, is a big tzaddik. Right? By last year, we have all sorts of new Yetzaharas. So we have to make new Haggadahs with a new Rasha. Right? It's funny, you look at different Haggadahs, you see pictures of what the Rasha is. You know, sometimes the Rasha is like a guy with like a knife or a gun. Sometimes the Rasha has a basketball or something crazy like that. Right, what?
Cigar.
Right, a cigar. Right, the Rasha's with the cigar. It's interesting to just see what, you know, people's understanding of the Rasha is. But again, in each generation there are new challenges. And therefore, v'higadata. You have to convey it in a new way, with a new message, with a fresh message. When Moshe used to gather Klal Yisrael together, in Parshas Baalosa, it says that Moshe, Asei lecha shtei chatzosros kesef. Moshe made for himself two silver trumpets. And Rashi on the spot over there in Baalosa, Asei lecha shtei chatzosros kesef. Rashi says, Asei lecha mishalcha. These trumpets are for you, and these trumpets will not be used by anyone else, not even by Yoshua, not even by the next generation. So I saw the author of the Shalos and Tshuvos, Lev Avram, of Avram Weinfeld. So he said, we can learn three things from the fact that you can't use the shofars from one generation to the next. But the first one is the one that we're focusing on tonight so far. And that is, the way that you gathered people together, the things that brought people together a generation ago, is not relevant. By the time Yeshua takes over, Asei Lecha, he has to make his own shofars. He has to find his own way of conveying a message, to get people inspired, to get people connected. And that's the V'higadata Levincha. It's not just a sipur. Yes, it's also a sipur. Tell the classic questions and the classic stories. That's also part of what makes the Seder so great. Right? But it has to be done with an eye towards the future, towards the reality in which we're living. And to express it in such a way that it's very real, that it's taking place now. That behold, dor v'ador, like Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Waldstein said, that in every generation you have to convey it in the way that's relevant to your generation. I saw Rav Shalom Shvat Dron, the great Maggid from Yerushalayim, in his Haggadah Shel Pesach. So he has there on page 89, he says, we know V'higadata Levincha is said in what context? Right? It says in the Haggadah itself, B'sha shematza umar munachim lefanecha. So Shalom Shwadron said, if you want to be able to tell over the story to your children, it has to be B'sha at a time when the matza and the mar is munachim lefanecha. That the matza and mar has to be before you, meaning what? If you want your children to do it, you also have to live it. You have to live the story. The matzah and the mar has to be munachim lefanecha. You can't tell your children, oh yeah, you should have matzah, you should have mar, you should get connected to Pesach. The matzah and the mar has to be munachim lefanecha. The greatest way that we teach it is to show that we're living it. Right? That we're not just telling it like we told it 10 years ago, but I'm living it right now. To become a dugma ishit, to become a living expression of the idea that I'm trying to convey. Rosh Hashanah goes on, he tells a story. He says when he was mashkiach in the Teferes Tzvi Yeshiva, so when he was mashkiach, he used to walk around, And in between, you know, telling the Bachrim to get the shir and stuff like that, and get to davening on time, Rosh Hashanah used to recite Daf of Gemara Baal Peh. And the Talmidim from that period, they say it was an unbelievable thing to watch. So one of the other Rabbanim in the yeshiva said, no, Rav Shalom, they didn't pay you to learn, they paid you to be a mashkiach. Stop walking around always learning. Right? So he wasn't sure. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not doing my job properly by walking around learning in my spare moments. Maybe I should put more time into my hashkacha. So he says, he hopped on a bus, took the bus to Tel Aviv, from there to Bnei Brak, went straight to the Chazon Ish. Said to the Chazon Ish, no, what should I do? I don't think I'm doing a poor job as a mashkiach. The Chazon Ish said to him, lehefech. He said, keep doing what you're doing. He said, what better way to teach the boys Torah than to show them how much you love it? That's the greatest hashkach in the world. You think just sitting with them and having a conversation, that's when you're being mashkiach? When they see you, and they see your excitement for learning, that's the greatest hashkach you can do in the world. And that's the vihigata to levincha. It's extremely interesting. You look at the targum on vihigata to levincha. Avnezer points out that the targum is usichavei livnach. Usichavei. Which could be a lashon of vihigata, tell it to your children. But that shorish in Aramaic, ches, vav, yud, very often, as it's used in the Talmud Yerushalmi, means to what? To see. Right? Chavei could be a lashon of seeing. Show it to your children. Don't just tell it to your children, show it to your children. How do you show it to your children? By living it yourself. And this, again, is the very essence of what the word Haggadah actually means. Okay, let's go into the Haggadah. Let's get into the Haggadah. Let's get into Magid. Dalet Banu. There's a beautiful insight from the Keren Yeshua. The Keren Yeshua, Yeshua like Lashon of Salvation, written by Rav Yehoshua, who was the son of the Blujava Rebbe, the son of the Tzvilat Tzadik. And in the Keren Yeshua on Osir Ches, he asked the following question by the Dalet Banu. He says, you look, this is a question my wife asked me a few years ago at the Seder, it's a good question, a lot of Sfarim asked this question. If you look at the question of the Roshan, you look at the question of the Chacham, it doesn't seem so different. What does the Rasha say? Maha avodah zos lachem. Right? What is this avoda that you are doing? And we're very critical of the Rasha. Oh, lachem v'lo lo. Look, he's excluding himself. He's saying you. And then you look at the Chacham. And the Chacham also says, tell me, what is this that Hashem is commanding eschem, you? So why don't we yell at the Chacham? So obviously the context is important. The Chacham says, Maha idus v'achuki, right? The language of his question shows more of an interest than the Chacham's, than the Rasha's, Maha avodah hazos lachem. But one says lachem, one says eschem, right? They're both saying you. So says the Keren Yeshua the following. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's seal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, the sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara in Shabbos says in Daf Nun Hey, is the seal of Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sign is Emes. Why is Hashem's sign Emes? Why is the Chosem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes? So, the Blizhav Rebbe says, because if you look at the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world using the letters of the Aleph Beis. That's a Gemara in Brachos. Those are the building blocks of creation. Emes, Aleph, Mem, Tav. Aleph is the first letter of the Torah, the first letter of the Aleph Beis. Right? Tav is the last letter, and Mem is the middle letter. So now you'll say, hold on, let's check this. Right? Mem's not the middle letter. There's 22 letters, Mem's not in the middle. So says the Blizhav Rebbe, and this already Rishonim already bring this, if you include the Sofit letters, the Mem actually comes out to be precisely, of the 27 letters, including the 5 Sofit letters, Mem is actually precisely the middle of the Torah. So Aleph, Mem, Tav. Now let's say I didn't use the Sofit letters. What would the middle be? Says the Blizhav Rebbe, the middle would be Chaf. So says the Blizhav Rebbe, it's so beautiful. What does the Chacham say? Ma ha'edus v'achukim v'mishpatim esher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. Look at the word eschem. Eschem has an aleph, it has a chaf, it has a mem, and it has a taf. What the Chacham is asking, he says, teach me Torah. Show me, teach it to me in the way that Hashem would want it to be sealed upon me. The seal of Hashem being the seal of Emes. Stamp it upon me with the seal of Torah. Yeah, he wants to know everything. Teach me aleph through taf. The Vilna Gaon explained, when the Chacham, when we answer him, right, that's all we tell him. He wants Aleph through Tav. So the Vilna Gaon says, that is Aleph through Tav. When we say teach him Ein Maftiyun Achar Pesach Avikomen, that means teach him everything from the beginning halacha, all the way through the last halacha of what? Ein Maftiyun Achar Pesach Avikomen. That's a code word for teach the Chacham everything. He's interested in the whole picture.
It's the last Mishnah.
What is that? It's the last Mishnah of Psachim, right? It's the end of Psachim. Teach him from beginning to end. Teach him from beginning to end. What does the Rasha say? The Rasha, on the other hand, says, Ma'avodazos lachem. Lachem, Chof, Lamed, and Mem, those three letters are precisely what? The middle of the letters. He only wants, so to speak, the middle. Now I'll explain what that means in a second, but look how precise the Baal Haggad is. Right? When the Rasha says Maha Avodah Zos Lachem, I don't want the Aleph, I don't want the Tav. Oh, you don't want the Aleph and the Tav? What does it say in the Haggadah? Kofer Be'ikar. Kofer Be'ikar. He was Hotzi Es Atzmo Min HaKlal. Hotzi Es. He took out the Aleph and the Tav. Hotzi Es Atzmo Min HaKlal. He took out the Aleph and the Tav. He says, I just want Maha Avodah Zos Lachem. Now, what does this mean? It's a beautiful remez that the Belozhev Rebbe is bringing. But what does it mean? He just takes the middle, he doesn't take the whole picture. So I think that's exactly the point. The Rasha, and it's very, I think it relates deeply to what we were just describing. You know, the Haggadah has to be so relevant to us right now. But part of making it relevant in the now is putting it into some type of context. The Rasha comes to the Seder and he says, how is this relevant now? Right now, in the middle of my life, right here, right now. Lachem. Right? Ma avodah zos lachem. How is this relevant now? This seems like a thing of the past. This seems like a crazy dream for Lashana Babu Shalayim and bring Kar Pesach in the future, right? But the Rosh says, how does this relate to what I'm doing right now in my life? Right? And because of that, we say, the Rosh, you're not seeing the big picture. A Jew has to know that my now is very much connected to my Aleph, to my glorious past. And my Lachem, my right now is very much connected to my Tuf, to my future. Right? To see the whole picture of Jewish history. We say to the Rasha, you can't just look at what's happening on the world stage today. So the Rasha says, why should I continue to do this? Why should I sit here like a king? The Jewish people are not beloved in the eyes of the world. So we say to the Rasha, learn a little Jewish history. Right? Read the prophets of the read the words of the Nevi'im about the future. Right? It's not just about right now. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan that's been unfolding for a long time, and there's a lot more that's still yet to unfold. And if you see it the way your brother, the Chacham, sees it, Eschem. He wants to see it all from beginning, from the Aleph to the Chaf and the Mem, which is the middle, to the Tuf at the end. That's a way a person comes to appreciate what we're doing on the Seder night. And I think part of the response to the Rasha, when we're Hakei as Shinov, like the Baal Haggadah says, what does it mean Hakei as Shinov? Blunt his teeth, knock out his teeth. Rosh Shlomo Karabach used to say Hakei as Shinov means bring out his shin. Bring out Hakei as Shinov means knock out his shin. Bring out the shin. In the word Rasha, Reish Shin Ayin, bring out the shin that's, so to speak, in the middle of him. So Rosh Shlomo Karabach explained, I think it's based on a Belzer Rebbe, bring out the shin means that inside of this Rasha, in between the Ra, so to speak, the Reish and the Ayin, there's a shin. What's the shin? In the Zohar, it says the three-pronged shin represents Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Teach this Rasha, you're part of the Jewish history. Right? See yourself as also being a Hemshich from the Avos, as part of the Mesorah. But I want to say it just a little bit differently. Maybe the three-pronged shin, the response to the Rasha is what? You can't just look at right now. You have to see, right? The shin has a one point, but it branches out into three points, into three lines. There's the past, there's the present, and then there's the future. And if you're only going to try to say, Ma'avod ezos lachem, how does this relate to the client that I sat with this afternoon in my office, right? Then you're missing a big part of the picture. And then he's hotzi es atzmo min haklal. He took out the aleph and the tav. And he's not able to come to an appreciation of what the Seder is about. Very confusing paragraph. The Rishonim already are trying to figure out what exactly does that mean. Already in the Gemara, it's Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. We know Maschil Beginus. We start off with something bad. We start off with the negative part of Klal Yisrael's history. So where does the negative begin? According to Shmuel, it begins Ovad Imayinu. According to Rav, it begins right here. Mitchila ovde avodazara hayu avasenu. That's the maschil begnus. That's the rough background that we have to deal with. So who was mitchila ovde avodazara hayu avasenu? Our forefathers were ovde avodazara. Our avos avasenu. Our avos. You mean like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Those avos were ovde avodazara. So we show them again already. Grapple with this. The Ritva says absolutely not. It can't be that mitchila ovde avodazara hayu avasenu is a reference to the avos. Can't say that Avram worshipped Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in the Darim says on Daf Lamed Beis, by 3 years old, Avram already figured out the Rabbanu Shom. Avram never worshipped Avodah Zarah. That's the Ritva. The Rashbats says just the opposite. Avosenu means Avosenu. Avosenu means that yes, that our Avos, Avram Avinu, worshipped Avodah Zarah. The Rambam is a little confusing on this Inyan. The Rambam, on the one hand, in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, says that Mitzchila, over the Avodah Zarah, Hayo Boseinu, is a reference to Terach, the father of Avram. And yet, if you look at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where he recounts the history of Avodah Zarah, the Rambam is very quick to tell us that Avram did, in fact, worship Avodah Zarah. It says Avram came from a house of idol worshippers, and he worshipped with them. Rambam is very clear. So on the one hand, the Rambam is interpreting this paragraph, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayavu Seinu, as a reference not to the Avos, but to Terach, the father of Avram. And yet the same Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah tells us that Avram, in fact, did worship Avodah Zarah. So I have to figure out exactly how the Rambam came to that conclusion. Why didn't he say Avos Seinu actually meant Avram? And part of the problem of saying that it's a reference to Terach is the fact that the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Tes Zayin says that the term Avos is a very unique term, and it's reserved for the three Avos. Ein Korin Avos Ela Shlosha. Ein Korin Imos Ela Arba. We don't use the term Avos for someone who's not one of the Avos. So therefore, let's work with that. Let's work with that school of thought for a moment. Let's work with those who say that Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu is a reference to who? To Avram Avinu. Avram worshipped Avodah Zarah. What's the problem? What's the problem? What's strange is that we know that the Yom Tov of Pesach corresponds to Avram. The Torah, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, Taf Yud Zayin, quotes from his brother, says the three big holidays correspond to the Avos. Pesach is connected Avraham, Shavuos is connected Yitzchak, right? And Yaakov made Sukkos, so Yaakov is Sukkos. Avraham is the Yom Tov of Pesach. Avram, the Obed of Zarah, in his early years, is the one who corresponds to the Yom Tov of Pesach. What's the problem? The problem is that the Maharal says, why is it that Avram was Zocha to be the one who's Keneged Pesach? Says the Maharal in his Gvuras Hashem in Perek Zayin, because Avram was Chazak Be'emunah, and therefore Avram is the foundation of the Jewish people. And Pesach is the Yom Tov that begins the calendar year. Right? So therefore we put down such a strong foundation of Emunah with Avram Avinu. But hold on a second. Why am I announcing that in the Haggadah, Mitchil Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu? If this is a Yom Tov of Emunah, of teaching Emunah, of deepening Emunah, and Avram, the Yom Tov corresponds to Avram because Avram is the paradigmatic example of Emunah, so why am I announcing in the Haggadah that, oh, by the way, just in case you think Avram was like always a Mammon, no, he did Avodah Zarah. He had a rough past. Why would I want to announce that? Why am I declaring that on the night of Emunah when I'm honoring Avram on the Yom Tov of Avram Avinu, the Yom Tov of Pesach? So I was thinking about it this week, and I think you could suggest the following answer. There's a Gemara in Yoma on Daf Chav Beis that tells us the secret to success, the secret to Nitzchias. If you want something to become eternal, if you want something to last, you need to have a little bit of trouble in your past. You need to have some skeletons in the closet. The Gemara says, why is it that the Malchus Beis Shaul didn't last? And why is it that David was more successful? Why is Malchus Beis David last and Shaul doesn't last? So the Gemara answers in Yom Chav Beis Amud Beis, because Shaul lohayu bo shum dofi. He didn't have any trouble in his past. And says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochadok used to say, we don't appoint a communal leader unless the person has a kupa shel shratzim teluya lo me'achrav. Unless the person has some trouble in his past. Why? Because if a person becomes haughty, it'll keep him level-headed. It'll keep him humble. It won't go to his head. All of his power as a communal leader won't go to his head because he could just pause for a second and say, you know what? I wasn't always such a tzaddik. My ancestors weren't all tzaddikim. So I think perhaps the answer is that on the Leila Seder, on the one hand, we're empowering ourselves with Malchus. We're sitting here like Malachim and B'nai Malachim. At the same time, one of the major themes of the night, as expressed by the humble matzah, is humility. And therefore, in a certain sense, we want to declare that yes, Klal Yisrael are the ultimate nation. Klal Yisrael have the ultimate emunah in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you might say, well, we should be embarrassed of our past. No, the key to our success, we're announcing on the night where we're celebrating that Klal Yisrael is forever, that the Yom Tov of the Jewish people, the celebration of Yetzias Mitzrayim is forever. We want to remind ourselves that what? It wasn't a perfect past, and that's okay. The Gemara says the success of David HaMelech Dafka came from what? From the imperfect past. From the ability to remain humble despite the greatness that the Jewish people embody. I saw the Chida, Chaim Yosef David Azulai, the great Sephardi Gaon. He has a sefer called Midbar Kademot. And he writes there in one of the entries, it's an alphabetical work, he says, he quotes a medrash, that the Jews got out of Mitzrayim in the schus of bowing. In the schus of bowing down. In the schus of bowing down, that's how we left Mitzrayim? And the answer is yes. Because a Jew has to understand that when he's given power, he takes it in a very humble way. One of the central numbers of the Haggadah is the number 4. The Sfarim explain, what's the inyan of 4? The letter Dalet. The word itself, Dal, means humble, means poor. The shape of the letter Dalet is what? Is bowing. Is always bowing. Is maintaining a sense of humility, despite the great power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, as expressed by the Seder night. And therefore, while the Malchus of Shaul didn't last, the Malchus of David HaMelech did last. As all the Sfarim explain, look at David's name. It's Dalet V'Dalet. It's Dalet and more Dalet. If a Jew can stay humble, if he can ingest the matzah, and be able to be Mekabel Malchus, while at the same time retaining his humility, a person can go far. So therefore, Dafka on the night, where we celebrate that Klal Yisrael is here forever, that we're not going anywhere. We remind ourselves that we have some trouble in our past, but that's the secret to Nitzchias. That's the key to having success in a long-term type of way.
It fits right in, because we say that Bnei Yisrael went from low to high.
Right? Okay, we're running out of time very quickly. Let's see if we can squeeze in a little bit more. V'hisha Amda. Okay, V'hisha Amda. I'll tell you just very, very quickly on V'hisha Amda. Probably the most important idea that you need to know on V'hisha Amda is something I heard from one of my friends last year. He said it in the name of his father. And it's very important, especially for the men in the room, who probably don't do as much as their wives, and the females of the home in preparing for Pesach. Right? V'hisha Amda. So everyone wants to know, what? What's the V'hisha Amda? So some say, you lift up the cup of wine when you say V'hisha Amda, as the cue in the Haggadah tells you. Maybe it's the cup of wine in your hand. V'hisha Amda, the cup of wine has protected us throughout the generations. How has the cup of wine protected us throughout the generations? So some say, the Maharsham says, that we know that Chazal were gozer, that there are special restrictions when it comes to Jewish wine, and avoiding non-Jewish wine to prevent intermarriage. So maybe V'hisha Amda, maybe the wine, and the restrictions that govern the way that a Jew interacts with wine has kept us unique, has kept us separate from the nations of the world. Maybe like the Bnei Yisachar says, that the cup of wine in your hand is a reminder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hisha Amda, Hashem, all of our shortcomings, all the times we let you down, every time we let you down, we ended up in Galus, it was only because Ki'ilu, we didn't have Das, like a person who drinks wine. The mistakes that we make, Hashem, you know that's not who we really are. The nations of the world oppress us. Right? And our Yetzirah that you've given us is very strong. And therefore, V'hisha Amda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please forgive us. Because any mistake that I made is like a drunkard who's not thinking straight. It's not really who I am. And it's not the nation that you chose for yourself. But my friend told me in the name of his father, that every year when he gets up to V'hisha Amda, he pauses to thank his wife. And he says, V'hi, and she, V'hisha Amda. It's the Jewish women who have allowed the Jewish people to survive throughout all the generations. Our Emuna comes from our mothers. If your mother is Jewish, your father can be the Pope and you're Jewish. If your father's the Gadol Ador and your mother's not Jewish, then you're not Jewish. V'hisha Amda. It's the courage, it's the strength, it's the charisma of the Jewish women that has protected Klal Yisrael perhaps more than anything else throughout all of the generations. Dayenu. In Dayenu, of course, one of the strange lines of Dayenu that everyone's familiar with, and we know some of the Sipur, we know some of the famous parts on it, but I'll add something new. Ilu karvanu lefnei Har Sinai. Right? Had Hashem brought us close to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah Dayenu. So everyone asks, what do you mean to come to Har Sinai, to not get the Torah, that would have been enough? And again, we know some of the classic answers, but I saw a beautiful explanation in the Baranovich Haggadah. Suggested the following. You know, sometimes in life, a person thinks that they don't need something until they actually get it. Right? And he says there that the same thing is true with Torah. A Jew could come to various stages of success in one's life and say, I have everything that I need. But we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Dayenu. As we begin the Dayenu, Kam Amalus Tovus L'makom Aleinu. Thank you, Hashem, for all the good things that what? That you threw upon us. Because we would have been satisfied with what? With our physical freedom. We would have been happy to walk out of Mitzrayim and to be able to say, thank you, God, for setting us free. And Hashem said, I reject that tefillah. I reject that tefillah. I'm going to push you forward. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed us and gave us more and gave us more and gave us more. And the truth is, once you have the Torah, could we ever say it would have been Dayenu? Once you have it, you look back and you say, there's no way, Dayenu. We never could have been the same people we are today without the Torah. Ki lo davar reku mikam. It says in Parashas HaAzinu that Torah is not an empty thing. Kilo davar reik umikem. The Chafetz Chaim explained, what's a davar reik? You know, you're walking down the street, you find an empty soda bottle, right? So it's not as good as a full soda bottle, but it has a value. Yeah, you could, first of all, you could turn it in for a 5-cent refund, 10-cent refund. You could use it to fill it up again with something else. It's not as valuable as a jar or a bottle that's full, but it still has some value. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it's a very strong var, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. Ki lo davar reik umikem. Torah is not an empty thing. Says the Chafetz Chaim. You might say, you know, if I don't have Torah, so okay, I agree, my life would be better if I had Torah. But if I don't have Torah, I'm at least like an empty bottle. I still have some value. I still have something. My existence is worthwhile. It would be better if I had Torah, but I ain't without it. So says the Chafetz Chaim, no. Ki lo davar reik umikem. Once a Jew has Torah in his life, he understands that a life without Torah would be essentially meaningless. Ki hu chayechem. Like the pasuk says, because Torah is life itself. And when a Jew finally gets it, then he understands that. And therefore we say, Kama malos tovos aleinu. Thank you Hashem for pushing us forward to Har Sinai. Before we got to Har Sinai, we could say Dayenu without Torah. But once we got the Torah, all we could say is, wow, thank you Hashem for pushing us forward in that way. We say in Pirkei Avos, She'ein lecha ben choren el misha osik b'talmud Torah. I think you can make the same point. A person might say, for my friend who's not so successful in this world, Torah is good for him. It gives him something to look forward to. For me, I don't need it. Says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, She'ein lecha ben choren el misha osik b'Torah. Right? Ein lecha. The Torah is the Mishnah speaking to you. To the one who thinks, I'm okay without it. Ein lecha. You think you're a ben choren without it? You think you have everything you need in life? Try Torah, and you'll see. You'll see that there's something that could greatly enhance your life, and maybe even justify your entire existence. Just to conclude, B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam liros esatzmo. One of the famous questions that they ask throughout the Haggadah is why certain parts of the Haggadah, certain mitzvahs of the night have a bracha, and certain mitzvahs of the night don't have a bracha. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim seems to not have a bracha. The Rishonim are already bothered by this question. Right, the highlight of the night, why don't I make a bracha on that? So some say we do make a bracha. The bracha at the beginning of Kaddish covers the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and some say the bracha that you make at the end of the Magid is the bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. A lot of creative and interesting answers. But it could be that we don't make a bracha. Why would that be? What do we gain from not making a bracha? So I saw the Arugas HaBosem, who was a Rav Moshe Greenwald, the great Rav from Chust. He has a Haggadah called the Halal Nirtza Haggadah. And in the Halal Nirtza Haggadah, he says, what's the nature of a bracha? Why do we make a bracha? In general, why do I make a bracha? I make a bracha to awaken my kavana to be able to tap into whatever it is I'm about to do. Some mitzvos, you don't need a bracha. Because it doesn't matter what your kavana is, we just want you to do it. Take tzedakah, for example. I don't care what your kavana is, I want to make sure the ani is able to get lunch. Right? So therefore, you don't make a bracha when you give tzedakah. We're just interested in the result. We don't really care how you do it. Shaking a lulav, we care how you do it. We care what your kavanah is. So we ask you to make a bracha. So I was thinking, if this klal is in fact true, if we could follow it through, so why don't we make a bracha on the Seder night? Again, if the general rule is that we make a bracha in order to tap into the kavanah, so why don't I make a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? I think the answer is, B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam liros es atzmo, ki'ilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim. The danger of making a bracha is to say, now I made the bracha, so now I'm showing that I have kavana, I'm doing the mitzvah, now I'm yotze. On this night, we dafke ask you, don't make a bracha. Don't make a bracha. We don't want you to pat yourself on the back and say that you had the kavana through the form of the bracha. On this night, we want you to become it. We want you to do it. We don't want you to take the cheap way out and to say, I made a bracha and therefore I was yotze my kavana through the bracha. We want you to be creative. We want you to experience it, chayav adam liros esatzmo, like the Rambam, laharos esatzmo, to demonstrate that you're living it. Because again, if I'm really living it, I don't need to make a special bracha, I don't need to make a special declaration. At the end of the day, a Jew expresses his connection to it by just being it, by becoming it. And again, that's the greatest form of Haggadah, of transmitting it to our children. So Mirtz Hashem, this year, we should be Zocha. Chazal say that if the Jewish people would just keep two Shabbosos, we would immediately have the Geula. So I was thinking a few years ago, Shabbos is called Shabbos, and Pesach is called Shabbos. So when Pesach falls out on Shabbos, it's an opportunity for a Jew to keep two Shabbosos. And Amir Tz Hashem, if we tap into all of these ideas at the Seder, we'll be zochet to the Gula Shleimah B'Meher B'Yaminu.